Hey yo, everyone, it is time for that language warning. Today's episode does contain a lot of strong words used gratuitously and with great fun and great effect. However, if you have younger listeners who may not appreciate the fun and the effect of the words yet, you may want to hold off on listening to this if you have young ears nearby. Otherwise, go nuts. What's going on, everybody? My guests today are John Pena, Leo Rodriguez, and Alex Miranda of Wiz Socks. Wiz Socks is an Atlanta-based company that was founded a couple years ago on the premise of giving back and connecting the community to local art in a way that is also useful, functional, in the form of socks. So John, Alex, and Leo actually came in, brought me a couple pairs of socks. I tried them on. Incredible. They're now some of my favorite pairs of socks that I own. They've got artwork by local Atlanta artists like Jake Jaurado, as well as Yo-Yo Ferro, and working on bringing other artists on as well. Now, what's really great about Wiz is that for every pair of socks that you and I buy, they donate a pair to the homeless in our city. And if you actually go online on YouTube or on their website, you can see these videos of John, Leo, and Alex going out and giving these socks out to people in Atlanta. There's also one video where Leo, who is a barber by training, gave a homeless man a haircut after giving them socks. So just really, really great things for the city of Atlanta, and just three really great guys who have an honest-to-God great product that's doing a lot of good for our community and allowing us to wear some of the art of our local artists on our bodies in a way that's trendy, fashionable, and very comfortable. John, Leo, Alex, thank you guys so much for coming on to the show. This one is a little bit longer, even after we trim it down a bit for consistency and content. It's a bit longer just because we were having so much fun cutting up, joking around, and then really kind of diving deep into a lot of business topics as well as a lot of philosophical discussion that was fueled by some beer, some Golden Monkey, some Victory Golden Monkey that the guys have brought in, which we might have drank a little bit too much of. But I hope you stick with it. I hope you stay with the show, and I hope you enjoy. Without further ado, here is John, Leo, and Alex of Wiz Socks.
Any given moment, we know what the world is feeling.
Are you wearing pajama pants to school? Why, yes, I am.
I was, in a way, elevating him. I was celebrating him.
We wanted to build a beer pong table.
No, it's the Show ATL podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Show ATL podcast. I'm sitting here with Leo Rodriguez, Alex Miranda, and John Pena. What's up, guys?
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, guys?
Thank you for having us.
And they are the founders of Wiz Socks. If you haven't heard of them, you've heard of them now, and you're going to hear a lot more from them if you're from the Atlanta area in the months and years to come. So,
Man. Yes, we just run around the streets, man. We want to be known.
Literally.
No, I love it. I've seen y'all's videos, and we're going to get into a lot of that kind of to come. I met Leo, I believe. You were my first point of contact with Wiz and this whole organization. I met you through Familyhood and Jake Jaurado at some show.
At one of their shows, correct. And also, I think I ran into you at, remember the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival?
That's right.
I was actually working a side gig there, and I saw you.
That's right. I remember that because, okay, here's the first tangent of the day, which is earlier than I expected, but my girlfriend and I go to this every year, and we were walking around, and Ben Getz, who hosts the Atlanta Foodcast, came up to me and was like, hey, are you part of Show ATL? And Show ATL was only a couple of months old at this point, And I lost my shit. I was like, yes, I am. Like, how do you know that? And I was like, it's so cool. Somebody recognized me. And then that same day, I ran into Leo. And he was like, yo, Parson, what's up, man? Like, you know, I know you through Jake and Familyhood. And I was like, this is fucking wild, man. Like,
the universe talks,
that's,
man.
That's a great feeling, man, to know that somebody's recognized the work you do, that you put so much time into, man.
It was super cool. And you guys are getting to that point of recognition more and more every day, which is what I'm going to get into. But thank yous are in order before we start, because y'all brought in a case of Golden Monkey beer.
That's not it. We got something else for you. Give me one sec.
Oh, shit. All right, here we go. I was going to say I love this beer, and it's rare that we do a podcast in the middle of the day and I get to drink beer. So,
and you only need a you only need like one of them too.
One or two will get you there.
Feeling.
So we brought you another little gift.
Oh damn!
And what we have here is unreleased socks. That's a collection to Jake's design, and then our oh so famous Yo-Yo Ferrell. Wow,
dude,
socks.
These are great. I love this look. Okay, so for the listeners at home, this is kind of the admin part because no one can see what's going on, but I've got in my hands two pairs of Wiz socks, one with a Yo-Yo Ferrell design on it, another one with a Jake Giordano design on it that's black with kind of his handwriting that says good vibes only, one of his kind of trade signatures. And I love these two logos, so I want you to, oh, and they're stickers. You guys are fucking awesome. Thank you. I want you to kind of talk me through these two logos while I have them in my hand before I forget. The one on the right is black. You've got the W with the two kind of horizontal bars through it. It says Wiz Socks. And the one on the left on the unreleased sock is the same logo in black, but the background, instead of being solid black, is just a paint splatter, watercolor almost paint
basically
splatter.
Basically, what that is, it's just us testing different slips because, yeah, packaging. It wasn't really so much as like, oh, we're going to do two logos. But we kind of wanted to make it look more sleek.
Yeah,
with the
I
black.
Love it.
So the black one is the actual new packaging. Yeah.
And the black one's new.
Yeah,
okay.
And the white one is the older one. We liked it, but I don't know. We kind of redid it.
No, I love them both. Whichever way you decide to go. And you've got on the side here in quotes, be inspired. Sorry, Alex, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. And obviously the paint splatter on there, you know, the socks are designed by local artists. So that's where that comes into play.
Right. So let's get into Wiz, because we just kind of jump right into you guys giving me socks, which if the listeners don't really know what this company is, they're going to be like, that's super fucking random. Why are you giving this guy socks? Does he need socks? Probably not, but I'm going to wear these as soon as this episode is over. So Wiz Socks, founded in 2018 by the three of y'all. And if anybody is familiar with the Tom's shoe model of buy a shoe, give a shoe, that is kind of in essence what Wiz is doing with socks in Atlanta. You buy a pair and a pair is donated to the homeless. What's different about Wiz, from my understanding, is that all of the socks are inspired and created with art from local street artists.
Right, yes.
Am I missing anything in that description?
Also, the fact that we ourselves, as the founders, personally go out and donate the socks.
Okay.
And we meet people, we get their stories, I mean, any way that we can help them out.
Yeah, sometimes we don't just, what you see on the videos, if you guys follow us, we don't just, you know, hand them out. Sometimes we actually sit down with some of the people, the homeless people, and we get to listen to them, how they ended up there. And I know there's this stereotype, you know, but with homeless people, but some people are, you know, it's not even like that, man. Once you hear their story, like, it's really touching, man. So
they fall through hard times.
Yeah. And I mean, luckily none of us, you know, have, you know, well, I can't say none of us, but
one of us.
Yeah.
I slept in a bathroom for a few days.
Did
and
you?
I slept at this random girl that I didn't even know, her house for like 2 weeks.
So that's John talking, and sorry to call you out and name names, but we don't have to get into this story if you don't want
to.
No, man.
It's cool, but the thing is that it taught me that I'm not afraid to go back down there. Honestly, like once you've gone through hell, through the bottom, then they're like, how? I mean, unless I, you know, God forbid, I get in an accident, but I mean, you can only go up from that point if that's what you truly want. You know what I mean?
I've been there. Not exactly there, but I've been to that kind of hell and back situation.
It teaches you something.
It teaches you, it humbles you, and it really shows you how fine that line is between the life that you are privileged to lead and what else could be.
And that's why I encourage people not to ever get comfortable. And yep. Just keep looking for ways to better yourself, better your mind, help people, your family. Just always give, and because you always get what you give, you know.
That's true.
So
whatever you believe in spiritually, there is a karmic force, I believe, that is flowing through all of our actions and through all of us. And what you give, you truly do get back. I feel exactly. like in one form or another. So.
And that's what this whole business model is about, really, because I mean, Alex is the one who, man, like. He was talking. We were talking on the phone one night, and he was just talking about like, man, I've always wanted to give back.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes to the way I was raised, you know.
And this is Alex talking, yeah, by the way.
I don't come from, you know, like fancy this and stuff like that. So to me, it was more about my mom taught me that, you know, whenever you can be able to give back because you never know. So. This idea concept, it hit me literally at 3 a.m. and it was me laying in bed and I was kind of questioning myself, you know, like I was asking God, like,
right.
I was asking him literally like, is this it? Because like John says, you get to the bottom, you know, it's like, what else is there? And first thing that came up to my mind was Jake Yarado. Like literally, like we've always wanted to, you know, mix art in some type of way. And it just happened to be, you know, I hit up John and I said, socks, you know, and okay. How dope would that be? And he was like, yeah. Next thing you know, we hit up Leo.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, let's talk to Jake. And Jake was full on. As soon as I told him, he was like, let's meet up. And then from there, the rest is history, man.
So I'm going to, so a bunch of questions, right? And I do tend to, yeah, go nuts.
Open I want to crack this. I just want you guys to hear the beer there. Everybody got a head start. I didn't get to open mine, but since we got the mic here, I want to give you guys up close.
Ooh,
yes. Just so you know, good. This beer is really, sounded really fresh.
Cold. I like that. Good ad here. Golden Monkey Beer. Who is this made by? Victory? Victory Golden Monkey, if you want to be a sponsor of this podcast, we will take sponsors any day. So I do bounce around. I'm going to get to this question of why socks, because I think that is really important to the conversation. But before we go down there, I want to take a step back because I think the conversation is going to pick up and get really good. But I do want to take a step back and just talk about the three of y'all individually, because there is going to be a point at which the meeting of the minds happens, right? And the three of you become what is now Wiz as one entity. But there are three entities involved in this company. So however y'all want to start it, and I know because there's three of you in the room, if you could just say your name before you start the story, because it might get a little confusing for the listeners, but just a quick background on yourself, because I know you all are coming from different walks of life.
Of course.
So whoever wants to start, you have the floor.
So this is John Pena speaking. So we've known each other since high school, and for some reason, man, we've all just became friends, and the reason that we became lifelong friends and partners is because we know what we didn't want to be growing up. Like, of course, we were young and dumb, and we've gone on, you know, parties and spring break and all this and that, just going crazy and doing stupid shit, but
yeah, who hasn't?
We know that we didn't want to end up like just unhappy, like miserable people. Like we take pride in helping each other out,
mm-hmm.
and just giving each other, just giving. So like whenever we decided we wanted to go into business with each other, it was because we know that we didn't want to go the way that most people go. It's just like, you know, go and get some job that you hate and just do stuff that you don't want to do. It's like, you want to create value, you know, you want to add sure. value to the world, so that we all, like, there's a lot of things that we can disagree on, and we always bump heads. We argue a lot. But one thing that we agree on is, like, we wanna be something that we've never been before, but that means that we got to do shit that we've never done before either.
Right.
So right.
So where do you, what's your background, John, in all this? I mean, where do you...
My background, man, I'm going to be completely and 100% honest. I am the youngest out of my family.
Okay.
I was given everything. Everything.
Yeah.
I was babied all my life.
Still is.
No, I'm not. I am not.
Man, called out on air.
I was babied all my life, man. And I got sick of that. I got sick of going the way that I was going. Like, I didn't know how to take a loss. I didn't know how to feel any type of pain. So when I finally went through pain, I was like, yo, like, it's not that bad.
Mm.
I mean, it was bad, but it's not as bad as you think it is going to be.
Well, in a certain way, you come out of the other side of that with some more ownership of yourself.
Exactly. You like, know, more responsibility. Yeah. And just like, yo, like, you got to do what you got to do, man, because nobody's going to hold your hand.
Yeah, you leave this part of your life where things are presented to you and you take them on face value, and then you go through something that is difficult.
Yeah.
But it's yours. It's your difficulty. You get to take ownership of that, and then you get to turn that into whatever you want it to be.
One thing that I always take pride is that I've never let anything tell me, you know what, it's not going to happen for you and it's not possible.
Mm.
Like, I know what I want, even though I have trouble in finding a way to get it, but it doesn't matter, man. Like,
right.
There's always a way, but that's me, man. I was raised by musicians, visionaries.
Okay.
So my dad always taught me, like, you can get anything you want, this and that, but it's easy for somebody to say that to you, but you got to go out there and actually do it.
You certainly can, and you know, I'm sorry for jumping in, and I'm going to get to both of y'all in a minute, but it's easy to talk the rhetoric and say you can do whatever
exactly.
You want, be whatever you want, you know, it's all out there for the taking, but it's hard fucking work.
It is.
And that's what no one else tells you, because when you're young, I do believe, this is a personal thing that I'm going to kind of riff on for like 30 seconds. I swear to God, I'm going to stop. But there's this whole, I think there's a period in one's life where you have to stop saying you can be whatever you want and start getting a little more tangible with young people and saying, okay, you have to kind of pick some direction and you got to put a lot of fucking work into it.
Exactly.
Because there is an age where it's appropriate to say, be whatever you want, right? But then at some point you got to stop just like leaving the door completely wide open and
but
say,
but you know what, partner?
Narrow it down.
There's so many people that have done things that people want to do. I don't think you had to go through the same trial and error that people 100 years ago had to go through, man. That's why
fair.
There's books.
That's
and
fair.
I see you got a lot of books.
I do. I like to read a lot.
I feel like you got to listen to the right people. You got to read the right material. It's not that fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one thing that we struggle with recently, I realized that people don't really struggle through. It's just a matter of the information. What's messed up is not knowing what you don't know. That's the most difficult part, is not knowing. But if you know something you don't know, then you know which direction you need to go to.
Right.
But the unknowns, that's the worst part.
The leadership dynamic has kind of changed to who asks the best questions, right? How do you get the information that you don't know? And that's one thing Corrigan, my partner, and I talk about incessantly is, okay, here's the plan, but what don't we know, right? Because those are the things that are going to trip us up in the end. But
that's right.
Yeah, we could continue this for a while, but
that's what it's about, man. I want to pick at your brain too.
We'll get there. Let's see how many of these gold monkeys I get. Oh man, that's way more than we have time for. What I don't know, but let's move on to Leo. Leo, next down the line, tell me about your background.
What's going on? If you're listening to this, it's me, Leo, and a little bit about my background, man. I guess just to piggyback off of what John just started saying, he grew up, you know, with a family that helped him, you know, and basically, you know, provided a lot for him and things like that to a certain extent. I, on the other case, grew up with a family of hustlers. My mom always worked 2 to 3 jobs, raising 6 kids, me and my 5 siblings. My dad was in and out, you know. We can go on about my dad, but I love my dad, and I'm the way I am because of him. So growing up, you know, going to school, elementary, middle school, high school, you know, it's just part of the process. Go to school, you know, that's what they tell you, go to school. And I graduated high school and I really didn't want to go to college because I was working full time and, you know, I had a car to pay and things like that. And I've always been I had that hustler in me, you know, just like my parents did. And I wanted to, you know, just work and not really go to school. I've seen people that were successful with a college degree and without a degree. But, you know, I decided to, you know, go that path and say, you know what, I'll go to school, get a 4-year degree. So 4 years later, I graduate college with a bachelor's in information technology. Mm-hmm. So it's like the IT stuff. And soon after I graduated college, I actually got a job in IT working in Buckhead. And just to tell you, it wasn't my scenery.
Fair.
It wasn't my scenery. I had recently got married when I got that job. And, you know, I thought everything was working out perfect. You know, my wife and I moving in together, and she's got a great job. She also does IT, and I did IT. You know, I thought everything was just, like, lining up perfect. Mm-hmm. But day after day, I would wake up, and I would just dread going to work. And I've always been the kind of guy where as soon as I don't feel any motivation to go to work, I question myself, am I happy with it? Do I want to do it? And that's where I was, you know, and being married, recently married, you don't want to make those drastic, risky moves, you know, because you, apparently you just really can't be doing that, you know, when you're right. married and, you know, you're adulting, sort of say.
Yeah, you're not only responsible for yourself anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, man, so just I don't know. I mean, we're being honest here, and I left that scenery. You know, I left that scenery for two reasons. For one, I honestly got let go, and it was lack of motivation on my end. So whether that projected and they saw that, you know, it was no motivation, whatever it is, I'm not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been happier ever since.
Hell yeah.
You know, I going back to what John said, Alex and John, you know, my two business partners and best friends, we're together for some reason. Whatever that reason is, mm-hmm. we're together. We're continuing, you know, doing what we're doing together for whatever that reason is. I believe in everything happens for a reason, and there's a reason why we're here together, including with you, you know?
Oh, I totally agree. And I don't think there's any, I think that's one of the hardest things people can do is to walk away from that career path.
Right.
We live in a society, and I think not just the United States, but from a developed world perspective, where there is a prescribed kind of linear trajectory of where you're supposed to go as an individual and as a professional. Mm-hmm. And to deviate course from that is extremely challenging from a social pressure perspective. And the parameters by which we kind of gain employment going forward are predicated upon what we've done in the past. Right. And it's really hard to quantify, I'm leaving this, you know, secure corporate position to start a sock company.
I think that the world, we are living in a time right now where the world is finally seeing, like, we don't have to go the way that our grandparents and our parents are telling us to go. Like, this whole, I mean, not to bash anybody who's going to college and looking for a career. I mean, if you want to be a doctor, go be a doctor because you want to save lives. But if you're doing it just to get a degree to make some money, like, you don't realize that there's people that are graduating high school and they're making more than your dad and your mom together probably make. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I told Alex this the other day. We were talking about the internet and everything. I was like, we are living in the perfect time right now for with socks because online and internet sells. Like, people, I bet you in 50 years, most people are going to make money from home and they won't even have to leave the house. They can go travel and do what they want to do. Yep. Right out of high school. I mean, the education system has to teach these kids, like, hey, you can do, you don't have to go this way that everybody's telling you to. It's just the,
it's hard though. I mean, I agree with you entirely because I do feel like there is a, you can essentially, you really can be what you want to be, but you need the tools and the information to make those decisions.
That's true.
And that is where the education system needs to fill the void. It's all available, but you do need a general understanding of how to put the pieces together, right?
It's like the system has rust all over it. And it's like, it's 2019, but this system, it's like they just keep painting over it.
Well, because it's very political. It's very bureaucratic.
Yeah.
It's hard to get legislation passed at the speed at which business is really moving. You have to understand that the political dialogue is a huge inhibitor to progress on a geopolitical level. It is a huge hindrance to business actually getting done efficiently. Major, major topic that we're going to spend hours on if we go down there. But I mean, like, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So basically, going back to me, that's Lenny Leo. Hey, guys.
Back to Leo.
So basically,
sorry, we forgot you, Leo.
Yeah. What I was going to continue saying was, you know, we're together for whatever reason we're together with. And we all share one passion. Same passion is to create something for ourselves, you know, to pass down some kind of legacies, to pass down something that we can call ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the main reasons why we are with each other. You know, we share a lot of similar background, sort of say, you know, we have the same hustle, you know, even though we do bump heads, collide, argue, you know, point fingers at each other.
You'd be crazy if you didn't. It's business partners.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, this is people
talk
say
shit
don't
about each other all the time.
All the time. All the time.
They call me Pony because I'm the shortest.
Yeah. So basically,
that's fair. That's above the belt.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, we're together for some reason. You know, maybe I can't specify on which one, but you know, it's fun. Everything.
Look, man,
we do,
we're young. We're young, Leo. We're here, but I bet you in 20 years, we're gonna all be thinking each other like, man, I'm so glad that we took the decision and being like, yo, let's be business partners, man. Let's hustle together.
Alex, you have the floor.
My name is Alex. And well, a little bit about me. I think that's what makes us best friends, to be honest. We all kind of grew up similar ways, you know, as far as me and Leo, we have a lot. Like, I mean, his mom, I call it like my mom, because I'm literally always there as well. Like, growing up, I was always at his house. The sweetest person ever, you know, just like my mom. So it reminded me a lot, same as the dad, you know. And I think I can say I'm the person I am as well because of my dad. You get me? Like, same thing with Leo. And I understand John, where it's, we wanted to create something for ourselves and not take, you know, I read articles and everything, and usually the people that everybody's going right, that person that goes left is the person that actually, you know, overcomes and, you know, is helping people, you know?
But that person's the one who's always called out because they're going against the grain. Exactly. And people are afraid of
scrutiny.
What's different.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess that's what John was going back to, where he said it's not, you don't always have to go with the group, you know. You can always, even though you're going to be called out, stand by what you believe, you know. And if you believe on it, in it, just keep pushing, man. Something's going to give. Like I've always told John, like another business venture that I had before this, I would literally go knocking on doors. I mean, that saying, you know, it's like,
right.
You
what can knock that, on. What was that, Alex? What was that?
That was actually with Leo's brother, little brother, started actually a landscape when I was, I think I was 20, right? Yeah, I was 20. Am I 20?
I had a landscape company.
Yeah. There you go, man. I mean, you had a hustle, right? I mean, you had to do what you had to do, man.
You were successful, though. You were successful.
Thank God, you know. Thank God I was. But man, it took a lot of knocking doors. I literally, like when I say knocking on doors, door to door, I literally went door to door.
What was your sales pitch? Can I ask? Let's say you're knocking on my door and I open. What would you say?
Well, first I would analyze your yard.
He would say, I'm Mexican and I'll do it better.
No, I would look and say, hey, I noticed, you know, you have some weeds that, you know, need maintaining in here. Like, hey, I'm the perfect guy to take care of that. And while I'm at it, like, you know, it looks like I lived in Florida. So I would say it looks like your palms need some trimming. We can take care of this right now and stuff, you know. But usually they would just, man, when I tell you it, going back to that, it literally took 6 months until we had our first client. But did I quit? No.
But so Alex, how did that influence kind of the transition, right? So I'm not going to assume the landscaping business was a failure. I'm just going to call it a stepping stone.
Yeah, everything. So that takes me away from actually being, first of all, I mean, you said you've done it before. You don't want to be out in the hot sun, man. You get me? Like, and coming home, sweating and everything, you know, like taking, obviously you got to take showers and stuff, but you don't want to feel like that, you know?
Yeah. Like, I hired my best friend to do all the work for me.
Hey, well, I did it with my best friend. So yeah, it was always good times. We definitely had good times, man. It was some good times. I can say that. But, like, I think that just goes to show just the hustle in us, in all of us. And I think that's what makes us good friends, because we've been friends since high school. We've always stayed in touch. Like, I mean, there was points where I would be at Leo's house every single day, man, for real. Yeah, so.
It shows that you guys have this kind of brotherly love, because I've had people who work together on the show before and they're not jumping in and talking shit and they're not cutting up.
No.
And that's important. That's the difference between people who are friends and people who are just business partners.
And that goes back to how we always bump in heads. I mean, if you have siblings, you know you get into arguments with them. Right, and it's like, hey, you know.
But you know what? I'm not going to lie. Anybody who's starting a business with your best friends or your brothers, don't be afraid to call them out.
Well, at the same time, though, it's that is how the best ideas, I think, are formed, is that something is put out there that not everyone maybe understands, and you talk about it, right? You ideate on what is.
Yeah, I mean, with this idea, when I hit up John, he was the first person I hit up because he was up. It's three in the morning. And like going back, I was questioning my life at that point. You know, obviously 3 a.m, who's
my
up
best
that
ideas
late, you
know? Usually happen at 3 a.m. Right. So I'm with you.
Yeah. No. I'm not going to lie.
My best ideas come in the shower. In the shower. And then I forget about that shit. When I get out of the shower, I'm like.
So somebody needs to follow you around with like a hose at all times and just.
I need to have Ty Lopez said this. Ty Lopez. He's a big online marketer. He said, keep a notepad outside of your shower. He said, keep one out beside your bed.
It's a great way to get your notes really wet.
And people, I haven't done this yet, but apparently you're supposed to write down your goals every single morning. It doesn't matter if you have the same goals. Write down your goals every morning. It doesn't matter if it's a different sheet of paper, but look at it every single day. Because what that does is it forms your subconscious. Mm. Like my conscious mind is always running. It's always running. But I can't necessarily control it all the time. But I have to keep watch because your conscious mind forms your subconscious. And your subconscious makes you do things that you have no idea that you knew you would have thought you would have done before. Wow. And that's happened to me a lot of times. Like, it's like taking a risk. Like I don't know, man, am I going to win or am I going to lose? But you take that risk and you end up coming out ahead like every single time.
Well, your mind creates what's called a default mental mode. And that is the main part of your mind that holds your ego. And as you grow, and I think 22 is generally kind of the cutoff age where this really stops developing. But a lot of the way that your brain at a reptilian level and at a sophisticated level perceives everything around you is condensed by the time you're older, because there's a lot of information that comes in that your brain just doesn't need to process because you've been conditioned throughout the years to say, I'm defaulting to a certain pattern of thinking because I don't need to take up the excess brain energy to analyze this nuanced thing. And then there's a great book, actually. It's called How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan, which talks about the effects of psychedelic drugs on your brain. And it talks about kind of the transcendence of the ego, of seeing everything in almost like a childlike lens and through a childlike perspective.
That.
You know, because
that.
Because there is actually a part of your brain that does suppress information processing because it's just easier to default to a conditional kind of parameter of how your brain operates.
Or we're used to, basically.
And I love that that you said childlike because children have divine intelligence and we have no idea. Like we still don't even understand that.
Alex, real quick.
Yes.
You went from landscaping.
Yes.
Okay. And that was in Florida.
Yes.
You're in Atlanta now.
Yeah.
How'd you go from landscaping to wherever you are now?
I mean, like I said, it all started at 3 a.m. It all started there. And I hit up John 3 a.m. I know he was up. Then at this point, I didn't have Jake's number, even though he's a good friend. I didn't have his number, you know, new phone and stuff. So I get it from Leo. I told Leo. Actually, Leo was kind of a little confused about the idea at first, you know. He was kind of like, wait, what? You know, so much going on. You want to start this? Why? You know, and I was like, yo, art, man. Like art speaks to people in different levels, you know. Like this painting that you have, you know,
this is Jermaine Clark, local artist.
Yeah. It tells something to you. It says something different to me. It speaks differently to all of us.
Right.
That's what art does, you know? And sometimes it can get emotional with some pieces because they connect deeply with you, you know? So I say, why not? And I told him about, I talked to Jake. Jake was like, yo, let's meet up right away. You know, let's meet up. We chopped it up. You know, and he was like, I'm down. Let's get the ball rolling. And now that is one thing that is a tough ball to keep rolling, to be honest, because it wasn't as easy as we thought.
Sure.
Running an online business. I mean,
getting the whole, saw quality.
Yeah. Saw yeah. Quality it was a pain in the butt.
Because since the beginning, Jake said, I don't want something that's like cheap quality.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. That's one of your main competitive platforms is quality.
Yeah, exactly. So we wanted something that our customers would actually continue to rep, you know,
right,
and aware. And we didn't want something that was actually gonna, you know, tear down after the first use, you know. So
these are really good. You're talking about quality, maybe kind of pick the socks up. All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's try it on right now. Yes. All right,
let me know right now.
Listeners, we're going to do, I'm doing the Yo-Yo Pharaoh socks. Okay, we're going to do
abstract design. Big shout out to Yo-Yo, by the way. Yo-Yo's amazing.
Awesome. If you're on the Beltline ever and you go past the 10th Street kind of intersection, you'll see a big Stella Artois ad with Yo-Yo's work on it. Yo-Yo's also on there's a building in Midtown near the Dow Jones, Jones Day building. For Payscape, I think, is the name of that building. He did the front mural for that. He's all over the fucking place. He's insane. Insane in a good way, but
he's all around a great guy. He's super humble. He has a lot of the same values that we grew up on. And he's all around a great guy. Yo-Yo has just been an amazing partner. He's been an amazing collaboration with us. We text each other often, you know, about the brand and not about the brand. But he's, guys, if you haven't met Yo-Yo, straight up, just go to him. He'll talk to you. He's
a great guy. Yes. He's a very deep individual too, man. He's got a lot to say too.
All right, guys, here goes. First test ever live of the Wiz. Ooh, I love the monogram of the logo on the side of the sock.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, here we go. Am I doing the right side? Here we go.
Please be honest about the quality.
Here we go.
Let us know.
Going on.
Let us know.
Tight fit. Good in a good way. Very snug. Comfortable. Easy on. Okay, let's put the shoe on. That is, honest to God, one of the most comfortable pairs of socks I've ever put on my feet.
Thank you.
I mean, honest to God, this is really, really good.
Thank you so much.
Just to let you know, that was a 7-month process. Not exactly Yo-Yo's design, but just a simple fact to get that quality. It took us 7 months to get that quality because when we say we went through
trial and error,
samples after samples.
Tell me about A, why socks? B, what do you need to be competitive in the sock market? Okay, just art aside, right? Because art's a differentiator. But table stakes, just to get in on the market of selling socks, what are the things that you think about, right? Because Jake said they got to be comfortable. What else? And how do you quantify that?
So I'll answer one of those. Alex, which is our logistics guru. And he's the one that was in communication literally late nights with our manufacturer. But I'll answer the question about why socks. Okay, and then Alex will answer the question about what you need and what about a sock makes a good quality sock. Okay, and why socks? So the whole buy a pair and give a pair to the homeless person, you know, at first we were kind of weary about choosing the word homeless. But there's no denying it. You know, these people are homeless. These people would appreciate a pair of socks. People donate shirts, pants, money, food. But everybody always forgets a pair of new socks. Everybody always forgets a pair of new socks.
Right.
You know, you can't donate a used pair of socks. You can't donate a used pair of underwear. You know, hint, hint, that's later on. You know, with socks, you know, future
right.
later on could do something else. But...
Right.
We decided with socks because when you rock a pair, you know, when you rock your outfit, you know, you love your shirt, you love your watch, you know, you love your pants, you love your shoes. But what stands out a lot of the times is what you're wearing under the sock, under your jeans, you know, or what you're wearing, you know, on your feet as far as your socks. So that for the consumer aspect, you know, everybody loves funky socks, crazy socks, wild socks, awesome socks, you know, socks that, you know, that translate some kind of message. But for as far as the homeless people, they received shirts, pants, shoes, things like that. But they always forget the socks. And, you know, the number one thing that are requested in like homeless shelters are socks, socks and underwear, you know, undergarments. And so we decided socks, you know, we can put our design, you know, because we can design underwear, boxers all the time, but people right. don't walk around, you know, in their underwear all the time, you know.
Hard marketing sell. Yeah.
Exactly. So
unless
socks,
you're Calvin Klein.
Exactly. Socks is like a walking billboard for the artist and for our brand. And not just that, but basically they're super comfortable, you know.
No, I'm wearing them right now. I've had them on for all of 10 minutes. They're incredibly comfortable. I mean, like, definitely go-to right. pair. So I always kind of differentiate my socks between everyday socks and travel socks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think travel sock, I don't mean like I'm driving to Nashville. I mean like I'm getting on a plane to go to Vietnam, and I'm wearing these socks for 30 hours.
So you're gonna love them, man. You're gonna love
and
them.
And these are definitely going in the travel sock category. But
thank you for that.
But thanks. So yeah, so basically, why socks? Why socks is because it's the number one requested item from homeless shelters. And when you go out in the streets like we do, we go out and hand donate these free pair of socks. You know, from every purchase that we get, we go out in the streets and donate a pair of socks to the homeless people. And, you know, when we say, hey, here, you know, we hand something to them, they expect a sandwich, water, maybe a shirt or something. But when we hand them over a sock, their eyes light up, their smiles are wide, and they're super happy. They're like, damn, I needed some socks. You look at their feet, they probably don't have shoes. They probably have some socks with holes on them. You know, it's not the best condition for them. Mm-hmm. And especially we launched a little bit early before fall, and we seen the winter come through and everything like that. And when we were out in the streets, donated these comfortable, thick, warm socks, these people were happy. These people were happy. And it was just an amazing feeling that we had between us to donate something that somebody else really hasn't donated to them, right. You know? It was something different, and the fact that they appreciated it so much is what gave us the drive to continue doing what we're doing and collaborating with these amazing artists that already give back to the community by, you know, creating these crazy, awesome street murals, you know, these murals everywhere. They give back their own way, but this is our way of giving back. And that's where I lead on to Alex and what it takes to, what was that question?
So excellent answer, Leo. Thank you for chiming in on that. Alex, the second part of that question to you is,
go ahead.
What does it take to compete in the sock world? And that's kind of a two-parted question. One, what are kind of the ground rule, foundational table stakes criteria that you have to assume to even enter this market of selling socks, right? That's A. B, how do you differentiate and make sure that your socks are standing out and competing on a whole different basis?
Oh man, that's a tough question because I think I'm three beers in. So to be honest, going into this industry, it was an idea and a concept, and I didn't know nothing about socks. I'm gonna be brutally honest. I had no idea, and I've learned so much along the way, to make, you know, what people request as far as like the art support. When I try on socks, I don't know if you can feel it, but
you can see it and feel it.
So that was one of the things that we needed to get, even though if you might not be an athlete or nothing like that, because that's usually what athletes, but we wanted to make a sock that was for everyone. Mm-hmm. You get me? Like if you enjoy crazy socks or you enjoy art, you love art, we wanted to put all that in one. So we wanted to give a sock that spoke to everyone in a way, you know, like comfort was that was our number one, like comfort. That's, you have to get a comfortable sock. If you don't, I mean, are people going to buy again?
I totally agree with you. How does that become something that you sell? Because I don't know about everybody else, but like when I go to a store to buy socks, I'm typically not allowed to like try the sock on in the store.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. So
like, how do you sell comfort?
You can feel a thin sock off of the bat, right?
For sure.
Yeah. You can feel. And that was one of the things, like I said, we had samples after samples, and there's actually a thread count to that sock that you're holding.
Okay.
There's a thread count that a lot of people don't know. And I literally had to pick the sock, man, and stretch it out and count every thread. No lie.
Damn.
So.
Damn.
Yeah.
Which is what you're kind of doing now. You're stretching out the mouth of the sock.
I would have I would actually put it in a bottle. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Put it in a bottle, right? And I would count 10. So I'll start right here, right? And count 10. 1, 2, 3, 10. And mark it once I got to the 10. And then keep on. And then once I got all the way to the end,
I would count how many lines I marked on the sock. And that's how I found out about thread count. To be honest, when you go into this industry, you pick your top three competitors, who you compare to yourself, because you're not going to compare to yourself to the lowest, right? Because you aim high, never aim low. Michelle Obama, right?
There you go.
Yeah, right there. Michelle. So,
Michelle, do you want to come on the show?
Right. So we compared it to three top companies. Right. After that, we bought those three companies. As far as the socks, not the company itself, but No. I'm sorry. The beers got to me.
So you bought product from your three so pairs of socks. Hands-on market research. Very smart.
Yep.
Very smart.
Yep. So out of there, I analyzed every three pairs. Then I researched what do women look into, what do men want, and stuff like that. As far as when they're buying a pair of socks, all that research, I come and feed it to the guys. Now, this is teamwork. So I feed it to the guys. They give me their input and stuff. And, you know, we go back and forth and we choose what we want. Guys, do we really want this or this? And then what about having all in one? Right. And that's how Wiz Socks got created. You know, the Wiz on the inside of it. A lot of people miss that. And then we have our logo also embroidered on the inside of the socks and stuff like that. But
so you've got, honest to God, a super comfortable product. I mean, when I typically think socks, the first thing I jump to is quality. I'm a bit, you know me, you know what industry I'm in, you know me as a person, I'm a bit careful about choosing what I put on my body. I consider my body a kind of a walking billboard of myself. So it's like I want something that looks good head to toe. These fit the bill 100%. But they're comfortable as shit. I think that's one thing with socks that I cannot compromise on. Whereas with like a shirt or a pair of pants, I'm like, they might be a little uncomfortable, but I'm only wearing them for this one thing tonight, whatever. But these have to be comfortable first. I think you nailed it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Because it's late nights. When you want something to be done, you're not going to stop until you get it done, you know? And I was literally up till 6 in the morning. Keep in mind, I had to go to work at 8 in the morning. I did not care. Because my sole purpose was Wiz.
Sole purpose. I like that.
Yeah. So, that was me right there. Like, I need to get this done. Don't waste time. You know, keep it moving. And
well, you nailed it.
I appreciate that. And one last thing that I wanted to say is when it comes to socks and when we donate the same quality socks that you feel this is what the homeless people are getting.
Okay. That was kind of my third question is what do you give away? My second question, I'm not going to forget that third question. Hold me honest on this. The second question is, okay, so now you've decided to differentiate with the design of the socks, and that is you're going to have local artists on the socks.
Yes.
How do you pick the artists? And how does that complicate your logistics and manufacturing process, right? Because getting artwork, you're talking about thread count, right?
Yes.
Art is a series of pixels. It's a series of details.
Yes.
How do you translate the quality of street art onto thread fabric count in a way that resonates?
Man, you got to be good at Photoshop. Man, it literally... Man, you got a better answer, Leo. Help me out.
Leo, jump in.
So this is Leo back on the mic. And to Parsa's question is, how do we choose our artists? How do we go about getting their art on our sock? Right. There are limitations with our manufacturer. Am I saying that word right? Manufacturer. All right, with our manufacturer.
The person who makes your socks.
The great people that are, you know, making our thousands of socks that we order. They have limitations, you know. Their machines are able to print almost anything and everything. But as far as color, man, these artists give us some like crazy dope designs. We have to alter. That's why it's called a collaboration. We collaborate with these guys. We are in communication with these people back and forth. Hey, let's work this out. That's the beauty of it, because we get to know these artists. We get to pick at their brain. They show us, you know, their ideas and how they think, their thought process. But we're trying to translate that to a sock, you know? So we go back and forth. Yeah, exactly. So there's a certain limit of color limitations. They give us this art. We send it to our manufacturer, and they're like, okay, cool. This is under criteria. You know, this is great. But there's always something. So there's always some kind of back and forth. at the end of the day, we end up collaborating. You know, we end up collaborating and communicating back and forth, and we get this design done
right.
without altering the artist's artwork.
Yeah. So that being said, let's take an example. All right, so let's look at my beautiful Yo-Yo Ferro sock that is gorgeous. I mean, honestly, this is probably my favorite pair of socks that I own right now, the ones that you guys just gave me. So Yo-Yo is known for blending a lot of sharp, crisp colors in very abstract patterns, almost pop arty, a little cartoony. How do you get, first of all, how do you talk to Yo-Yo about, hey, we're making socks, we want your design on them? B, how do you take whatever he creates, right, and print it onto a sock? Is this the exact thing that he drew for you, for example?
So yes, man. How do you talk to Yo-Yo? Easy, man. He's a human being. He's a great person. Literally, he just talks to you like you would talk to any other friend you have.
Like so, we're talking to you.
Yes, it's man. That part is not even like, that's just a rhetorical question.
It was
just
literally a lunch meeting.
Yes, that guy is awesome, all right?
Okay.
So Yo-Yo, huge shout out to you, man. Thank you so much.
Yo-Yo, come be on the show.
Please, he's next. All right. But still, all right, so communication with Yo-Yo is amazing, man. Like, he's just like us, all right? Now, as far as his art on the sock, like Alec was mentioning, but he forgot to say this, is headaches and long nights and long hours of searching for a manufacturer, right? Mm-hmm. Because we set the bar high as far as our quality and our designs right. and our actual art on the sock, right? So our manufacturer is one of, you know, I don't know, there's like one, there's not too many like our manufacturer where they can 3D print a artwork on a sock. So
interesting.
Like,
yes. Okay.
So that's what Alex did not kind of elaborate on, but there's manufacturers out there, or there's companies, there's brands that are huge, big names, you know, but if you look at their art, it's like a print and press. You know, you flatten out the sock, you get the art, print it on there, flip it, and then get the other part of the art on there. There's always some kind of seam going down.
This is important because when I looked at your website, a lot of your marketing pictures were a 3D sock image. And you can see the artwork exactly, wrapping around.
Exactly. Yeah. So the artwork does not have any seams. It's seamless. If our artist created some kind of image, some art on a sock, it's going to be translated exactly how they gave it to us. There's not going to be any seams, no cutoffs or anything like that. So that goes back to saying of the quality, the high expectations that we, you know, set to ourselves and the great manufacturer that we have. And yeah, so basically that's how we get their art on the sock, because we don't do this. You know, we don't have a print and press machine, this and that. No, we got somebody else to take care of that for us, but they're the best of the best. And that's another collaboration that we have going on with them, because there's a lot of communication back and forth with them. But yes.
Well, this is Alex. I just wanted to add to this. Jake was actually one of the persons that told me. He said, if my art is going to be in a pair of socks, I want it to be just like my art, you know? So that goes back to Leo, how he set the scene.
Yep.
Jake didn't want that. And and the three companies that we compared, they all had that. Mm-hmm. So that's where the late nights go into finding that manufacturer that does a 3D printing, meaning there's no line.
Right.
Because an art piece is an art piece. You get me? You don't want it like this.
Altered.
Yeah, you don't at all. So that goes back to that. I just wanted to say that, basically. So
no, that's a really good point to add, because I do feel like it's really hard to compete on socks. I feel like there are many companies out there now who are capitalizing on the trend of people wanting to wear socks that are not a default neutral set of colors. I don't know when that shift happened from a fashion perspective, but even professionally, even when I was consulting for big corporate clients, the one area in which a professional would be able to be a little bit different, stand out a little bit, is you've got a funky pair of socks on, and that slowly has become the norm. I was meeting with somebody today earlier, which is why I was late for our meeting, and I apologize, but very high profile, older individual, probably in his 50s, very high profile, well-to-do individual, and we were sitting in his office, and his pant legs went up, and he was wearing this crazy pink, blue, whatever, vibrant pair of socks, in a full suit, and I was like, this is a different world that we're in now. A combination of social media, information, fashion, all of those things are coming together to create a whole new decision set for how we buy our clothes at the granular level, right? Socks, right? Back in the day, it used to be your socks, shoes, pants, shirt, belt, all can be the same. Maybe your jacket's different, right? If you're wearing a suit, like maybe the jacket's like cut some certain way. Maybe your tie's different, whatever. Now you've got the full range of every detail can be customized, and socks are just kind of that next frontier of where that's happening. And your socks are gorgeous. I am now going to transition to John. John's been waiting patiently in the sidelines.
I've been zoning out.
Well, welcome back. How do you, John, pick the artist? And before we even get to that line of thinking, how did you even, as a company, decide on we're going to highlight local street artists, right? Because I've read the blurb online that said you're about art and community, and that street art is something that should be worn and appreciated on a broader scale. You can find that on wizsocks.com. But from your perspective, from a founding member of the organization, before that ever manifested itself as a marketing pitch, what did that mean from a business competitive priority perspective? Why street artists?
Well, it all boils down to their personality. Is that artist as community based as we are? Or what are they after? Like, everything boils down to if that person is like-minded as you are. So if I meet an artist who they're in it for dollar signs, versus they're in it for the community and actually changing the community, then, I mean, I'm going to go for the guy who's trying to make a change, obviously, every single time. Because we might meet somebody who's like, okay, well, what's in it for us? As soon as that guy comes to that aspect, it's like, oh, well, like, I can't work with you, man, because you're not about your community. Because you might think that, oh, well, with socks, like, what? It's just another sock company. But it's like, if we were just another sock company, then we would just be out there just trying to sell, and not give back. But it goes for that artist, too. Like, is that artist trying to give back as well? And that's why the first pick was Jake Yaurado, because Jake is very, very give back as well. Mm-hmm. And so is Yo-Yo Ferro. Yo-Yo was like, man, yo, I'm down. Since day one, as soon as we met him, man, he saw the vision. He was like, yeah.
So here's an important question. John or Alex, yeah. I'll let you duke it out for whoever wants to answer this. What gets donated? Because I imagine the cost of printing a sock with this level of artwork on it is a much larger financial bottleneck than printing just a plain black pair of socks. So what actually gets donated?
So I'll answer this question. This is Alex, since I'm literally the one that handles everything with this. Yes, there is a difference between a printing sock and a knitting sock. Okay. So Yo-Yo's, what you're wearing right now, is a printed sock. There's color involved. There's a 3D machine, which, you know, every single time it gets up and printing, it's money. The knitting design, it's one machine that gets it all done. It. So, you know, there is a price difference. What we donate, it's a knitting sock, but it's the same quality of sock, though. This right here, what you're grabbing, which is Jake's sock, mm-hmm. This one is the same, not identical, but it's the same. The only reason, it's because we donate a black sock. Why? Because they're on their feet. They don't have a, you know, a laundry mat. They don't have a washer and dryer. Homeless people. Yeah, the homeless people are constantly on their feet. They're actually more on their feet than we are, man. You know, they keep walking and stuff. So they don't have a washer dryer. They don't have something that, you know, let me wash. So I can't give them a white sock, man, because the second day is going to be dirty, man.
So here's going to be a question where I'm going to kind of fall on my own sword and run the risk of sounding insensitive.
No, go for
or
it.
Or crude. Okay, no, but I'll take that risk because it's my show, damn it.
Take it, man.
Is it bad marketing to put your sock with all this print and logo on it on a homeless person? Because if someone like me, who's got the money to buy a sock outright, sees the same pair of socks on a homeless person, I'm like, fuck that. I don't want to be wearing the same fashion product as a homeless guy.
Well, that goes to, let me just put it this way. I guess that's where our marketing comes into. We're trying to market to people that actually are compassionate. Is that the correct word for?
Leo, let me help you answer
this. Yeah. So basically, Parsa, you purchase a pair of socks from Jake's collection, right?
Yep.
Or Yo-Yo's collection, or whoever's collection it is, you know, here in the future. You purchase this sock with their art on it. Sure. This was a collaboration with so-and-so artist. What we donate is a design that we come up with. It's a more simple, more minimalist design that these homeless people receive. So when you purchase your wild, colorful, abstract color from, you know, whoever the artist is, the homeless people receive a more sleek, more simple, more minimalist design. So you're not going to see the same design on a homeless person than that of what you purchased.
Well, sure. I mean, I assume that. I think I was just playing devil's advocate and being a little bit facetious asking the question, but I wanted to kind of point that out in that
right.
I don't think it's a sustainable model for you on a marketing or production perspective to print and sell the same socks to both parties, homeless people and consumers. John.
Basically, we're not trying to make the homeless people walking billboards.
That's exactly right. That's what I was trying to get.
We're not trying to be like, hey, look at me. Like, I got Wiz socks on. Like, Wiz socks.
But they still have Wiz socks on.
They have Wiz socks on. And that's still important. The quality. But my goal is not to be for a homeless person to go bragging to the world and be like, hey, this is Wiz socks and like buy Wiz socks. Like, that's not what this
okay,
is about.
Okay. I guess I misinterpreted this question. I understood it. I guess and the beer should
honestly,
get into me.
No, I don't think you misinterpreted it.
And honestly, Parsa, that this goes back to marketing. I would never, ever, ever make an advertisement and make a homeless person against. Not even against their will, but be like, hey, hi, my name is this, and I got Wiz socks on. I don't like that, dude. And since the beginning, I do not like that. I hate it when people were, I've seen it all the time all over YouTube. It's like, hey, I helped this guy out and this and that. It's like, no, dude, like, if you're going to do something, well, just do it because you want to do it, man.
Okay, so now we're back to a fine line. Okay, yes. And Leo's left us to use the restroom, but I, or do whatever he's doing. But I'm, But between Alex and John, now we've gotten to an interesting landscape. Okay, and I'm gonna transition to the particular video clip that you guys recently posted when Leo is back. So this actually might be a good time to take a beer refreshment break because I got a question.
Okay,
I want to wait till all three of y'all are here. We're back. We took a little bit of a break, but we took a break because Leo was in the restroom and we were starting to go down this line of conversation that I'm really keen on exploring a little bit further, which is the idea of using social advocacy, which is a main competitive platform for you guys. You are one of the main tenets of your company is social advocacy. You give back to the homeless community and using social advocacy as a marketing platform and the ethical lines that you have to stay within to make that a reality without crossing over into shady territory. Specifically, can you use homeless people to market your socks? Okay, because you do have a big tenet of your company is a lot of these promotional videos that you guys put out of you guys giving socks back to the community. So I assume you have to be a little bit careful with that because the people in the videos are not... The people in the videos are not necessarily contractually obligated to promote your product, yet they are, on balance, a major aspect of how you compete from a marketing perspective. So tell me about how you go about doing that.
Right. So this is Leo. And to answer that question, Parsa, when we go out and record these videos that you see all over our social media, we do this because as founders of the company, we want people to know that we really do this. We actually, from my hand to another hand, give these socks to these people. Right? We don't put it on our social media to brag or to show or to, you know, get some kind of empathy from people. No, we don't do that. In fact, behind the scenes, we ask each and every person if it's okay for us to, you know, record them, you know, whether it's before we record them or whether it's after, but none of this is shown into the edited video, right? So these people are more than happy to receive these pair of socks. Now, you cannot use these homeless people to promote our brand. We cannot use these people to have them as some sort of walking billboards or anything like that. Right. No, we don't intend to do that. The fact of us just donating to these people is all we need. You know, the conversations and the emotional attachment that we get with these people once we meet them, that's on us. But we want to share that. We want people to know that they aren't just homeless people. Whatever stereotype, whatever people believe, you know, homeless people, you know, are, or why they are who they are, you know, we want to just kind of share our perspective on who they are and why we do what we do.
So continuing on that trend right there, is any part of the interaction planned? When you are filming these videos and you go and give these socks out to people, what's rehearsed, what's not rehearsed? And we're going to transition to Alex to answer this one. What's the cadence by which you approach these videos?
I'll actually walk you through the actual process. So so we count out how many sales we made that month, right? We bag all those socks up and we literally put them in a backpack or a box, which last month we were able to donate to the homeless shelter, mm-hmm. thanks to, you know, the people that purchased, and really glad for that. But we don't plan this. We don't tell the homeless people that, hey, we're recording. We literally get them out the bag and start passing them out to homeless people. We literally park our cars, pay for parking, start walking, and look for homeless people. Now, do we say, you know, like, hey, let's plan for this? Absolutely not. I'm actually, the reason I'm answering this is because I'm usually the cameraman. I'm the one behind. Yeah, so we do this all ourselves. From Instagram, from if you're receiving an email from us, that's all us. Like everything about this company is done and ran by us. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing planned on the videos. We just shoot for it. And then afterwards, once in a while, we'll get a person saying like, once we handed the socks, they'll say, hey, I don't want to be. And I was like, okay, it's okay. So we won't put you in for whatever reason that is. You know, we respect that. Do we get that a lot? No. Everything that you see on the videos is real. You know, this is literally us going out there, point and shoot. That's it.
And also what we do is we send an email updating people what we're doing. Like usually emails
you get. I saw the show ATL one. Thank you.
Usually on emails you get like specials and discounts. But I was like, yo, like emails is a way to keep in communication in a professional way where, you know, where like people mostly check their emails. So it's like, yo, like let them know instead of a deal or a percent or a discount, let them know what we're doing every single time. Like the whole shelter giveaway, we sent the email. Hey, thanks to you guys, we were able to send a bigger package to these shelters.
So I'm gonna hop in on that. And this is just from, it's unsolicited, and I apologize if I'm out of line, but this is just kind of several years of experience in various business fields of understanding what it is that you're competing on and trying to relay that from a marketing perspective as effectively as possible. A big tenet of WizSox is that you're competing on this idea of giving back. Do not be afraid to highlight that. Do not be afraid to showcase the fact that you're giving back to people. From a legal perspective, there are obviously parameters in which you have to operate on how much you can get a homeless person to willingly or unwillingly promote your product. But do not shy away from the idea of showing your customers what you're doing in terms of giving back, because that is the, in my opinion, the kind of most effective competitive advantage that you have as a company. So keep doing that, please, because that's what your customers are buying. They're not only buying a product, but they're buying into a promise that they're helping the community, and you have to fulfill that promise and show them that you're doing it.
And another thing, if I may.
Please.
If I may. I love that you were talking about competing, because I want people not to have to try to compete, because whatever's yours and what you truly 100% believe is yours. Don't believe you have to compete against people, because if you're going in just to, and this goes back to just making money. If you have something that's 100% yours and that you believe in, it doesn't feel like you're competing against people. Like, even though, you know, somebody might come out and do something better than you, but you can always be the best you, no matter what.
You know, what he's trying to say, better terms, is when, you know, when you love your job, you don't realize it's a job.
Well, sure, you're not actively thinking about how you're competing.
Yeah.
But you're still competing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if some other sock company comes in and says, so many, we're going to showcase companies, local artists.
Absolutely.
We've got 200 artists on deck, and we're going to start producing socks at $1 a pair, then you're out of business.
I guess I'm just thinking about like Larry Brand and Google versus Yahoo. Like, those guys, they didn't have to compete. They just fucking created. Like, it's but creating.
They still competed.
Yeah, there was other platforms out on the market.
There is competition, of course. Yeah,
that's nature. What Parsa's getting to.
In
he's
your
saying
mind,
that,
though, you're not thinking, like, I got to be better than Yahoo. No.
Okay, well,
that's not your 100%.
Let's take it there. Let's take it there right now. Because another question I had is... actually, I wanted to talk about this video of you guys cutting this guy's hair. Do you mind? I'm sorry. For all the listeners, for everybody, I know I just queued up this question. We just got super excited about this one train of thought, and I really, really apologize for backtracking and sidetracking. But while we're talking about giveaways and videos, I need to talk to Leo about a recent video that was posted. The date is February 26th. If you go online right now, I think it's the second or third video on Wiz's Instagram profile, maybe second or third on their online profile. There is a video of Leo and the team, I believe somewhere near Freedom Parkway exit of 285, right? Am I wrong?
Right about there, yeah.
Okay, right about there, because I live near there and I recognize it. You guys were delivering a pair of socks to a homeless gentleman with a fairly unkept afro of hair, and Leo, you have a barber background, and you cut his hair during delivery of socks, and you made this video about you're cutting this gentleman's hair. Whether or not that's a competitive tactic overall for the company, it still serves to kind of show your commitment, your dedication to your cause, first and foremost, over your product. So just, this is a total kind of sidetrack thing, but just walk me through that video, because I think it's brilliant. I think it's fantastic, and I want to hear more about it.
Right. So this is Leo, and if you guys are still listening up until this point, thank you so much, because this is real. This is 100% us expressing ourselves. So about this barber video, if you have not looked at it, please go look at it at Wiz Socks. But me, Leo, I come from different backgrounds, but more than anything, I come from a background of I don't know the wording where, you know, I rely on my self-taught skills, you know?
Self-reliance.
Right. Self-reliance was what John said, so I'll take that word. But I taught myself when I was 16 years old on how to cut hair.
Okay.
All right? I practiced on my brothers, friends, and, you know, man, I gave them some jacked up haircuts. All right?
So you're a self-taught barber.
But I am a self-taught barber.
That's impressive.
I basically wanted to do a step above. I wanted to do something more than just donate a pair of socks, and something that I was able to do with my own bare hands.
Okay.
All right. And so the idea came about is me, man. Me as a barber, I love the satisfaction that I get when, after I cut somebody's hair, they put this happy smile on their face. This look of confidence that I'm able to.
It was a great haircut.
Thank you. Even though, okay, so we'll get on the haircut. We'll go on the haircut, but still. But the fact that I'm able to give a gentleman, a young man, a grown man, whoever the guy is, some kind of self-confidence after me putting my hands on his head with a clipper is some kind of fulfilling, you know, some fulfilling emotions that I get. And so I told the guys, John and Alex, my business partners in Wiz Socks, hey, let's not only donate a pair of socks, but I want to give somebody a haircut. I want to give somebody a haircut, not for money, not for show, not for anything, just because I simply want to feel that feeling again of like giving back, giving something, you know, whether it was confidence, whether it's, you know, raising their self-esteem, whether it was, I don't know what it was, but that feeling that I get when I give somebody a haircut and they genuinely like it, that's what I wanted to get. Whether it was an adrenaline rush, I don't know, but the fact that we picked this guy, all right, we gave him a pair of socks. He loved it. But not only did we give him a pair of socks, but we also said, hey, man, I will give you a haircut on the spot.
Go watch the video, seriously. If you haven't, and if you, I mean, if this is your first interaction with Wiz as a company, I need you to go to their Instagram, Wiz Socks, and go to wizsocks.com and look at this video of Leo cutting this guy's hair.
This is Leo speaking, and if you go and watch that video and comment, Leo, thank you for what you did, I will send you a free pair of socks.
Holy shit, that's big.
If you've made it this far in this podcast, and you comment, Leo, thank you for what you did. Okay, those exact words. I don't care. I'll pay out of my pocket. I will send you a free pair of socks.
That's big. You're going to get all of two or three people based on our recent listenership contacting you, is my estimate. Okay, so real talk, Leo, I need to follow up with you. If anybody actually does this, go on Instagram, on wizsocks.com, whatever. That's WHIZ socks. And if you comment, Leo, thank you for what you've done based on this video, this haircut, and he sends you a pair of free socks, I need to follow up with you because we're also going to send you a bunch of Show ATL swag.
There you go. On top of that. So win-win.
So that's big. No, I love that. So let's talk about what it is that kind of makes, this is a question I was going to get into, what it is that makes your company the way it is. And that is very personalized, dedicated, altruistic efforts towards the community in terms of giving back socks, giving haircuts, it's y'all first and foremost. It's y'all giving back to the community. And John, you might be able to hop in on this, but let me just, before I forget the question, I want to get it out there.
Go ahead, because I got 10 minutes.
Okay. How do you expand this? How do you grow a company that is so focused on the efforts of its founders and this personalized touch, right?
Right.
What does growth look like?
So with us, I will just speak the truth, you know? It's genuine relationships, genuine intentions that we have, okay? So when we interact with genuine artists, when we genuinely do these type of things within us, me, John, and Alex, we feel growth, we see growth, okay? Off of generosity and genuine relationships that we do is how we see growth.
All right, here we go. Here's the question I'm going for. Who's buying these socks? And why do they matter? Who the hell is even buying these? Who do you want to buy these? Who do you want to wear these? And why does that matter? Why do socks matter? Why does what you're doing matter? Alex, go.
Okay. Well, I feel like me that handles every order that gets shipped out is usually we handle it as a team or it's me. And I do see a pattern in this. It's usually artists or people that support the community. Why is it important? Well, man, you're not just purchasing a sock for yourself. You're also helping someone else in need that potentially they probably walk more on their feet, man, to be honest. You know, like when we give a pair out, they usually don't have a pair of socks on them, or they're all ripped up, dry, you know, dirty and stuff. So just put yourself in their shoes, you know? Walking miles and miles and without you being able to get a new fresh pair of socks, you know, how are your feet really feeling? That was the whole concept. Like, why are we really doing this? You know, like John said previously, you know, he's been there. Me, myself, I didn't grow up with the finest things in life, so I can relate to it, you know? So the business itself explains, you know, it's just like, if you support this, the communities behind it, it's more or so to help those in need. Mm-hmm. You're not just buying a pair for you.
You're not. Yeah, that's important. Yeah. You're not. I like that. I'll let all three of you answer this question. Okay. But if you could have any person at all, one person who on any level of press, okay? Now, this could be Instagram. This could be on Creative Loafing. This could be on TMZ. This could be on Vogue magazine. If you could have one person wearing your socks, who would it be and why? Mm-hmm. Leo, I'll start with you.
So, if I could have one person purchase for the cause, you know, for the genuine cause, it would be someone like my mother. Why? Because she has worked hard. She has hustled to provide for her family. All right? She has worked over two jobs, three jobs at times. But if someone like my person could see the vision, see the actual you know, see the concept of purchasing a sock and giving back, even though she doesn't come from money, but she's willing to support. Someone like her purchasing a pair of socks would be the ideal person.
Okay.
Not somebody that comes from money, not somebody that comes from some kind of social, you know.
There's no other agenda behind it. You just want someone genuine.
Right. Yeah. I would want somebody genuine as a person that, like my mother, if she ran, you know, if WizSox wasn't my brand, and if she saw an ad or if she saw our page, whatever it is, or she saw us out in the street selling socks and she wasn't my mother, if someone like her could purchase a pair of socks deep down in the heart and see the cause that we're doing and why we're doing it, if someone like her could purchase a pair of socks and help somebody else, that would be a mission accomplished.
Beautiful. Alex, if you could have anybody wearing your socks and somebody see them wearing your socks on a local or national or international stage, who would that be and why?
First of all, I want to start off with, I see where you're coming from, Leo. I completely understand your view and everything. Somebody that I do respect because they stood behind what they believed in 101% would be Colin Kaepernick. He stood behind what he believed for, not for the money.
Mm.
So if anybody could rock, is somebody that believes and stands behind what they actually believe in. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the money. He could have easily stood up and said, hey, let me keep making millions. But no, he, you know, kneeled down and believed in what he believed, and nobody was going to change his mind till this day. So if somebody could rock those socks, I would be honored if it was him.
That's a wonderful answer. It's very timely and it sends a very strategic message, and I appreciate that answer. I think it's a great answer.
Yeah, thank you.
John.
Yes, sir.
who is your person?
Who is
the person who, above all else, right now you would want to be sporting your socks for the world to see?
Honestly, Parsa, I don't have just one person.
You got to pick one.
Everyone.
So the everyman, the guy, the me, the you, the guy on the street.
Everyday person who feels like they want to make a difference, well, you can. With socks has the way.
That's actually an equally good answer to Alex's, because it employs the Tom's model that there's a shoe
that,
for
that
everyone.
That means that you don't have to be extra special. You don't have to be supernatural to make a difference. You can be anybody. It just takes that decision to say, hey, I want to make this person's life better.
I love that. Those are three excellent answers. I mean, we've kind of, those were three answers that took the gambit of the spectrum, right? Leo, your mother, Alex, Colin Kaepernick, John, the everyman, the every person. That says more to me about who's running this company than anything we've talked about in the last 2 hours, right? Where is Wiz going? Where is Wiz going next? On a kind of immediate scale and in the overall future?
On a immediate scale, WizSox is going to reach more awareness. First of all, we started in Atlanta, Georgia, but we also want to impact the whole country. The best way to start in anything is locally, mm-hmm. right? So you start locally. We started with Jake Arada. We started Yo-Yo Ferro, but we know artists who are in where Leo's wife's from, Miami. Like, we want to do different states. We want to do different countries. It's just a matter of which artists are going to resonate with you first. So we got to start as close as we can, and then we branch out. But it's more awareness that we're after than anything.
That's fair. I'm hoping that this program will help. I can make no promises nor guarantees, but I'm hoping that some group of people right now listening to this show, if they've made it this far, and at this point I'm thinking this is going to be a two-part episode, which is good, more exposure for you guys. But
I'm sorry about that.
Never apologize.
This might be a whole DVD set.
We are coming out on Netflix. No, but I'm hoping that this will help further the Wiz cause, because I'm not bullshitting you guys. We don't really have a lot of products on this show, and this is going out directly to our listeners. We don't have a lot of products on this show, period. We're doing socks today with Wiz, and I'm not an advocate for just blindly advertising products. It's not my thing. I don't like product placement, but these socks are comfortable as shit, and they're very stylish, and they're supporting a very local, very important cause. And I can't stress enough how much I love this company, and I want everybody out there to purchase a pair of socks right now as soon as you get done listening to this episode. On that note, to wrap it up, Alex.
Yes.
Where can the good people find you guys online, in person? Where can they make a purchase? Where can they contribute? Where can they learn more?
Yes. If you haven't ran into us in the streets, in any art show or anything like that, physically purchasing a pair, you can purchase a pair through there. But Wiz Socks Everything, WHIZ Socks, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, MySpace if you have it, anything. Wiz Socks Anything, WizSocks.com, we're there.
I love that. Wiz Socks, WHIZSOCKS.com. You can also find them at Wiz Socks on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, etc. You will not regret taking the time to go learn more about this company and learn about John, Leo, and Alex. This is a wonderful group of guys, a wonderful company, a wonderful cause. It's been my distinct pleasure to have them on the show today. This is the drunkest I've gotten in a while on this program. Full disclosure for any of my classmates listening, this is the day before our big accounting midterm. So if I fail this test, you know why. But you know, man, fuck it.
Can John just say one thing?
John can certainly say one thing.
This is my crazy ass. Okay. For those people listening, please find your passion. Absolutely let nothing stop you or slow you down from achieving that which you desire. Please, honestly, this is me telling you from my heart. This has nothing to do with socks or donating. Do not let anything stop you. Find what that is. Please. Thank you.
That's a really great way to end the episode, John. Thank you. It's been my honor. It's been my pleasure to have you guys on. It's been really fun bantering, laughing, drinking beer, coffee, tea, going down rabbit holes that we didn't want to go down, and just generally enjoying y'all's company. And I'm not joking, this has been one of my favorite episodes of this entire show. So thank you for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen at home, buy some pairs of Wiz socks. I promise you will not regret the decision. I love mine, and I'm happy to have them. John, Leo, Alex, thank you so much for being a part of the Show ATL podcast.
Thank you for having us.
It's a wrap. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Peace out.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Show ATL podcast, the podcast where we seek to find and highlight Atlanta creatives and creators and tell the stories of the people and organizations making amazing things in our city. I am your host, Parsa Benamory. Our show today was produced by Mr. Coleman Erkins with help from myself and Corrigan Nolan. Our music is produced by Relax with Alex. Want to thank all of the guests who come onto this program and tell their amazing stories with us and share with us, as well as to our wonderful listeners who continue to support us week in and week out. If you love this episode, if you love this show as a whole, if you like Show ATL and consider it something that you listen to frequently, please consider giving us a 5-star rating or a nice review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever else you use to listen to your podcasts. Please consider supporting us if you care to. Again, we're a small team working to put together this show for you every week. And we have a Patreon page, www.patreon.com/showATL. You can give a one-time donation or a recurring donation. All funds will be used to make this show better and better and better for you. So we would greatly appreciate that. Thank you again for listening. Thank you again for supporting us. Thank you again for being a part of the conversation that we continue to have day in and day out to make our city a better place, a more creative place. We will catch you next time. Thank you. Goodbye. Today's episode is brought to you by Old Fourth Ward Light Co. Based out of Atlanta, Old Fourth Ward Light Co. leverages unique design and artistry blended with unusual everyday items to create really unique and cool looking lamps. If you go to www.oldfourthwardlight.com and click on the shop button, you'll be able to see their full range of products. And if you enter the coupon code SHOWATL at checkout, you can get 10% off any order. Thanks.